Well, there's a controversial question at this time of year. A contentious question that has the potential to divide households. Perhaps it's a question you've already been arguing over. And the question's this: when does Christmas begin? Now, you may be a purist, and for you, Christmas doesn't begin until the 25th of December. If you're a purist with kids, then Christmas probably doesn't begin until after 7:30 on the 25th of December. And for others, Christmas begins now at the carol service or your first mince pie of the season. For those of you who work in retail, in supermarkets, Christmas comes hot on the heels of Halloween, so pretty much starts on the 1st of November. Now, in our household, the general rule is that Christmas isn't to begin until after my wife's birthday at the end of November, so a fairly sensible time. But over this last year, as the kids have got a bit older and have learned how to use a CD player, we've ended up listening to Christmas music since about February. So if you're a purist, now bear a thought for us and what we've been going through over this last year. But we have this build up to Christmas Day, regardless of how early that may begin. But imagine the great tragedy after all this build up and anticipation that we just missed Christmas. Kids, how awful would it be if you slept through Christmas Day? You went to sleep on Christmas Eve and then you woke up Boxing Day and you just completely slept through Christmas. And there may well be some parents who are thinking, actually, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. But just think back to what it was like when you were a kid. And I appreciate for some people, Christmas doesn't always hold happy memories. But I imagine for most of us, we just got caught up with the excitement, this build-up, the anticipation, the longing for Christmas Day. How tragic would it be? How gutted would you feel if you missed Christmas? As we get older, our priorities change. And some of the magic of that day fades away. And we look at the world, and yes, though we see that there's a lot to be thankful for, we also recognize that there's also a lot of pain in life. We may well find ourselves asking, why, if God exists, is there so much pain? Why, if God is who he says he is, do we live in this broken world? And when we ask that question, it's because it reveals that we have this yearning, we have this longing for things to be put right, that instinctively we know when we look at the world that the world is not the way that it's supposed to be. We long for justice to be done, for peace to be experienced. Now, we may not be wishing for Christmas Day anymore, but we're longing for a better tomorrow. But what if we've missed it? Despite all that longing, what if we've missed it? What if God has acted to deal with the evil and the suffering and the brokenness in this world, and we have missed it? How tragic would that be? And it could be all too easy to miss because it's been missed before. In the passage we just read, we heard the apostles explaining the meaning of Jesus' coming, and they were speaking to the religious leaders of their day, a people who were longing for a better tomorrow, but a people who had completely missed it. And so, as we heard, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Just picture the scene. Imagine that you're not sitting here now. Imagine that you're on a building site, and all around you are building materials and tools. And over here, there's this big sort of placard, one of those artist impressions as to what the finished design of the building is going to look like. And this group of builders standing there staring at this huge stone in front of them. And they look down at the stone. And they look up at the artist's impression. And they look down at the stone again, back up at the artist's impression. One of the builders says, "What's this?" "I don't know," another replies. It doesn't seem to match with the artist's impression. I look at the building, it's meant to be this white marble with fine engraving and gold gilding, and well, it looks like these stones over here. I can see how they fit into the finished design, but this thing, it just looked like it fell off the back of a truck. They must have delivered it to the wrong place. And so the builders reject that stone. They move over here. And they're working with this stuff here. But that over there is the cornerstone. And here, this huge, seemingly unattractive block is what is going to hold the building together. Without it, the building is never going to get built. The stone you builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And Jesus, we are told, is that stone. It could be so easy for us to look at Christmas, to look at Jesus and just repeat the mistake of the builders. And we say, well, what is this? It's a baby in a manger. This story about God becoming one of us and then dying on a cross and raising from the dead. How's this going to fix the world's problems? How does this link in with where I think we're going? And you know what, to be quite honest, it sounds rather abhorrent. This is an ugly stone and it doesn't seem to fit into the finished design. I can't see how this fits in. So I'm going to go over here. I'm going to work with this stuff over here. At least I can see sort of how this fits in. But to repeat the mistake of the builders is the greatest tragedy of all. Because Jesus is the cornerstone. Without him, the building is not going to get built. And as that passage from the Bible goes on to say, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You see, all the religions, all the philosophies of this world, they say, change your thinking. Change your speaking. Change your behavior, and then when you've done that, you'll change who you are, and then when we change who we are, then we'll work together and we'll fix the world's problems. But for millennia, people have sought the perfect system, be that religion or politics or something else. They've sought the perfect system for change and it's never been achieved. And they don't find peace. You see, the problem is not simply that we live in a broken world, but that we are broken people. So we don't need the perfect system. We need the perfect Savior. And that first Christmas, the angels announced peace on earth. That God was making peace with humanity. But it's not that God was ever our enemy. You see, the reason we need peace, the reason that we are broken is because we ran from. We turned away from the God who gave us life. We believed and we embraced the lie that God was our enemy, that he was against us and that we had to resist him. And so we've sort of set up our own kingdom, our own way of doing the world, just pushing God out the picture, having nothing to do with him. Really nothing to do with him as he is. We want to approach God on our terms. And we rebelled in the name of freedom, only to become enslaved by corruption and death. And how does God respond to all this? Elsewhere, the Bible goes on to say that God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we'd even asked, before the thought had even crossed our minds, when we were still hostile towards God in our minds, when we were actively seeking to push him out of our lives, God enters into our world. He enters into our suffering and our brokenness as one of us. He takes upon himself the curse of our disobedience, breaking its power by his death on a cross. And then, having raised from the dead, defeating the power of death, he offers new life and peace, even now and in the age to come, a restored creation where all things are brought back under the harmony of God's rule. Jesus starts where all the religions, all the philosophies of this world aim to finish, by transforming us. And through Jesus, our past can be forgiven, it can be cleansed, and we can experience the new life that he gives us. Salvation is found in no one else, because broken people cannot fix themselves. We don't need the perfect system. We need the perfect Savior. And that is God's gift to us. It's his gift. We don't earn it. But we do need to embrace it. Now, last Christmas time, saw people scrutinising £5 notes. And this was all on account of a guy named Graham Short, a micro-engineer, and he'd come up with this idea of engraving the portrait of Jane Austen on the transparent part of the £5 note. Now, due to the insurance value of his work, these notes are estimated to be about £50,000 each. And having created these specialised notes, Graham Short just went out and spent them in ordinary shops to send them out into wider circulation. So mid-December 2016 comes around, and Graham Short's a lover of pork pies, and he thinks, now, what better way to spend one of these specialised £5 notes at this Christmas time than buying a pork pie from a shop in Melton Mowbray? And so that's what he does. He goes in and he spends it, and later on the shop is informed about Graham Short's visit. And they start examining and looking through the £5 notes. But they cannot find that specialised £5 note anywhere. Which means at some point, someone in that shop was holding in their hand £50,000. And they just mistook it for an ordinary fiver. Casually gave it away. Without a second thought, without a second look. It was just dished out as change. What you have within your grasp this evening is worth far more than £50,000. What are you going to do with this cornerstone? What will you do with Jesus? At the very least, take a second look. Consider carefully what you've heard. Because it would be the greatest tragedy of all to miss this. This is God's greatest gift to you. Christmas begins with Christ. Christmas truly begins when we turn to Jesus. We experience the new life that he gives us. When will Christmas begin for you? Let me pray. Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to bring us back to you. Will you enable us to see your great love? Enable us to see the forgiveness and new life that you offer us, so that we would come with true adoration to Jesus and receive your gift of eternal life. Amen.